You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
That may be my favorite Dave Rothenberg drop, him screaming, "That's Lawrence Taylor." That's up there.
Very awkward story, by the way, of him approaching Lawrence Taylor in a bathroom in Atlantic City.
See, here, Chris, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, okay? As a celebrity, please answer this question. Does anybody ever, ever, ever have the right to approach anyone in a men's room?
I don't necessarily look at myself as a celebrity, but to answer your question, no.
You played in the league. You know what this is.
No. You can't approach somebody in a restroom.
No.
Like, you can't. There needs to be, like, an understanding. Like, if you're in the men's room, guys are in there to handle their business. We're not in there to socialize. So don't talk to me in the restroom.
No.
Even doesn't matter standing, how fascinated you are with the individual.
No.
Doesn't matter.
You can't do it. You're going to have to eat it. It may be your only chance to ever meet this person. Deal with it.
That's Lawrence Taylor.
Like, that's right up there with the rule. Like, if there are, like, three urinals and there are two people in there, you got to have the one urinal as the spacer between the other two.
Yes.
Like, that's right there with that rule. Like,
now,
you cannot approach anyone in the restroom.
No. See, that's a respect thing from me. I agree with the three urinal rule. However, for whatever reason, there are just times that I purposely go to the one in the middle in case somebody comes in to make them feel uncomfortable. I don't know why that is.
You're a bad guy.
Yeah.
You're a bad guy.
And it's not all the time. It's like, I don't know if it's when I'm cranky. I can't predict when it's going to happen. But there are times where I just want to see if I can create an uncomfortable moment.
But why do you want to be that guy creating uncomfortable moments in the bathroom?
I don't know. And it's not
That's very strange. I would not have pegged you as one of those guys.
But it's not. But I'm not going to stand there and the person's going to have to say and stare at them and the person's going to have to say to me, "Eyes forward." That's not what's going to happen.
I don't understand it, though. If there are three, just go to one of the end ones and allow the next person to come to go to the other one. The opposite.
Most of the time, I do. Most of the time, but just every once in a while.
Why isn't it 100% of the time? That's what I'm trying to get to.
I don't know. I would never approach anybody. I don't start conversations in the men's room at all. Ever. I don't want to talk. I don't want anybody bothering me.
I'm with you on that one. This is just really strange with the urinals. I'm just very confused right now.
But again,
I don't know what to think.
All right,
I held you in high regard until I heard you say that.
Oh, okay, but it's not like I go in, and if somebody's on an end urinal, that I would then not purposely take the other end. No, I just go to the middle when nobody else is there every once in a while.
Because you don't want anybody around you, so you're just saying, I'm going to go to the middle, and if you come around me, then you're making it awkward, not me.
Then it's on you. Then you made a decision not to to be done.
That's a very selfish approach to go into the bathroom. I
don't know why I would do that. I do not know the Dave story about approaching Lawrence Taylor in the men's room, but I can't imagine that it ended well.
Yeah, he told the story. It wasn't as bad as you would think it could be, but it's just awkward. Like, it's just very uncomfortable. Like, why would you approach somebody in a men's room? Just very, very strange.
All right, fine, I'm stabbing you.
Yeah, it's about as strange as that LT sign-off right there. Yeah, that's about right.
800-91. Excuse me. Got some in my throat. Jeez. Oh, my God. That's why I hit the mute button before, and I forgot to shut it off.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Carlin, Canty, 98.7 ESPN. We got calls. Let's hit him. Jerry in Jersey. Yes, it is. That Jerry is up next on 98.7.
Hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
What's up,
man? Hey, what's up? Hey, now I got something here for everybody to hear right now. Now, Ben Roethlisberger said something yesterday, and a lot of people messaged me because I put it on my Instagram that he wants to win multiple Lombardis. Now, you tell me, the last time Big Ben had a defense like this, what did he do? You don't even got to research it. I'll tell you. Ben Roethlisberger won Super Bowls. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback in the league. I'm not saying that. But you give him a defense like he has now, he's going to go to the Super Bowl. Look what that defense did last year to Lamar Jackson. They exposed him.
Hey, Jerry.
They exposed him.
Jerry, why don't you wait and see if Ben can actually lift up his right arm before you have them in Miami this year? How about that?
He's throwing. You see him.
Yeah, he's throwing 2 days off another day. He is 78 years old, didn't play at all last year. And as a Steelers fan myself, I think you are vastly overrating where he is at this point in his career.
No, I don't think so. I think he's back, and I think he's better than ever. He's in the best shape.
You haven't seen him throw the football.
Better than ever.
You haven't seen him throw the damn ball yet. I mean, come on, Jerry. Stop. He's back, and he's better than ever.
When's the last time Ben Roethlisberger got to a Super Bowl? Let's just talk about that.
2009.
Yeah. They played the Packers
in
the
loss. Well, no,
I'm
sorry. Right? So that I take that back.
It's 2010. It was 2010.
2010.
The 2010 season. It was his age 28 season.
Yeah.
So that's 10 years ago. 10 years ago. And then you're talking about him having a surgery to repair three ligaments or three flexor tendons, whatever they are, in his elbow. Not Tommy John surgery, but akin to it, on his throwing arm. And we're talking about this guy, he's back, he's better than ever, and just because he says he wants to win multiple championships?
Which he already has,
we're supposed to buy into that? Come on, man, stop it.
Yeah.
Listen, there's nothing that you can tell me that would convince me that the decision that they made last offseason to give a 2-year contract extension was a good decision. There's nothing that you can say to convince me of that.
We're
going to have to see
decision.
The performance on the field. Now, if they go out and they make it to the playoffs and they win a playoff game, yeah, I'll come out and say I was wrong about Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers being in a bind for giving them that contract extension. But until that happens, you know, I'm just going to hold on to my opinion because I just don't have a lot of confidence that a guy that hasn't taken great care of himself in past off seasons is going to all of a sudden bounce back and have a huge year coming off of a major elbow surgery on his throwing arm. Just don't see it.
Neither do I, and they didn't move on from him on the earlier side, and like we've seen with other great quarterbacks, guys that frankly have been better than him. And look, there were extenuating circumstances with a guy like Peyton Manning, okay? But the Colts moved on from him because they didn't know he could play anymore. Now, he played well the next year, obviously, through 50 touchdowns, but that's not happening with Ben. They should have never moved, or they should have never extended him. And I'll say this too, Chris. There's not a quarterback in the league that I pay less attention to what they say than Ben Roethlisberger. Because most of the time, there's a whining factor to it, and there's also a factor of I am one of the greatest to ever play. He's been a very, very good to great quarterback in his career. He will be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but at this juncture, it's over. It's been over, and they made a mistake in bringing him back. And look, if he
as a player, if you got to tell people how good you are, you're probably not as good as you think.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, there is a little bit of that with Ben Roethlisberger, but you're right. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's won multiple championships. You can't take that away from him.
Based on what's happened right now.
Yeah, where he's at in his career right now, like I absolutely don't expect to see the Ben Roethlisberger that we saw earlier in this decade. I don't expect to see that guy. I don't expect to see the guy that we saw 2 years ago when he threw for, over 5,000 yards. I don't expect to see that guy. Like, this is going to be a different Pittsburgh Steelers offense. And it's probably going to be one that's been more reliant on the run game than they have been in years past because that complements what the strength of the team is, which is their defense. But I'm with you on Ben Roethlisberger. I'm skeptical. And quite frankly, I'm a little surprised that the organization didn't go out and try to find a capable backup quarterback on the cheap this offseason.
I'm
surprised by that.
The closest they've come to drafting his replacement is Mason Rudolph, and that's not him. So they haven't. It's funny. People always knock
Cam
him for
Newton
letting...
was cheap. Andy Dalton was cheap. I mean, there are guys that are accomplished that were cheap. Jameis Winston isn't costing a whole lot of money down in New Orleans. Now, I don't love trick or treat Jameis, but I'm just saying I would have thought that they would have tried to kick the tires on one of those other guys that has been a starter in the past, and that somebody could step in for a team that has a defense that's championship caliber. Because, I mean, they almost made the playoffs last year with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph as their quarterbacks.
Yeah, and for them to not go and get another veteran backup or even position themselves for the future, for the team that people always get on for moving on too fast from players and it's never worked against them, they have not done that with the quarterback. They have not, and they should have. 800-919-3776. Chris in Manhattan is next. 98.7 ESPN. Christopher.
Good afternoon, Chris and Chris. Thank you for taking my call. I happened to jump in, so I may now have some information. You were talking about Adam Gase and Sam Darnold. First, and I can go through Sam Darnold quickly. That's my franchise quarterback. I think that's a franchise quarterback, if you have a bad franchise, will probably outlast or go through maybe two to three quarterbacks. Having said that, for the year, this is me mostly on every show before I get to Sam Darnold on anything. You probably would have to talk to me about the retool offensive line. We haven't had edges in forever. Shutdown corner would be nice. I'm confident that Joe Douglas can do that with the – I love my GM. I'm confident that we can get that done, especially if we keep all of our picks. If we don't trade for someone for what first-round draft picks in 2 years, next year, what is it, two ones, a two and two threes? I'm good money there. Adam Gase. Is he a leader of men to you, just in any fashion? And Chris,
no.
I was thinking
no.
about this.
No, woo, he's not a leader of men. Woo. I can ask you a question.
Chris,
no.
I was actually going to ask you to, like, pull, like, let me go behind the curtain for a second, and I would ask you, where would be the first? I mean, because as a fan, I'm not going to see the meeting rooms and, you know, the practice sessions. Where is the place that you usually identify that first, and where it starts to fester and possibly grow along a roster? The next thing is, in terms of game day, that first 15 plays may or may not be great, dependent. But do you see a lot of in-game adjustments, whether it be quarter-to-quarter or coming out of halftime? Do you see a lot of the similarities coming from Miami? And wouldn't have been my first choice as a head coach. And if he's if he's our head coach next year, or actually, and this is why I think it's the biggest year for actually Adam Gase. Do you think that if he doesn't have a successful year, when is he going to get another head coaching job?
Won't get another job.
No. He would get
that's easy to answer.
No, you think he would get another coordinator job?
He might.
I mean, he might have an opportunity to be a coordinator, but he's not going to get another head coaching job, no.
And he shouldn't.
This is going to be his last opportunity.
Yeah. But usually two for the NFL. You get two shots at it. And my other big problem here has always been this. Look, if he finally goes out there and develops Darnold, and Darnold has a big second year, and that relationship, was really growing, like you could tell there was something special there, then great. But I look at everybody else, and I look at who he's worked with, and I'm still asking the question as to what quarterback he's ever developed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who that guy is. I mean, a lot of people want to point to Ryan Tannehill, but I mean, Ryan Tannehill didn't look his best until he got to Tennessee last year. And that's been my biggest knock on Adam Gase. I mean, people ask, is he a leader of men? Well, I mean, I think the first question that you would ask is, does he get guys to play up to their potential, right? That's what a leader does. Mm. He inspires guys to be at their best. I haven't seen that under Adam Gase. The best version of Kenyon Drake, I saw it when he got to Arizona. the best version of Devontae Parker, I saw it when Adam Gase left Miami. The best version of Minkah Fitzpatrick, I saw in Pittsburgh. Like, at some point, like, it's just like, okay, we keep asking ourselves this question on whether or not Adam Gase is a good head coach. And like Bill Parcells used to always say, if you got to keep asking the question, eventually you're going to land on the answer being no.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Adam Gase right now. Now, we'll see what happens with Sam Darnold this season. But, I mean, I'm skeptical about what Adam Gase is going to be able to get done. I don't think the Jets are going to be a very good team. I think they would do well to have the same record in 2020 that they did in 2019.
Oh, I think that would be a phenomenal outcome.
Yeah, they're not as talented as they were last year. And the expectations didn't go down, they went up. So, again, Adam Gase is going to have to prove his worth as a head coach because he's going to have to get guys to play above the X's and O's. And it remains to be seen on whether or not he can get guys to consistently do that. Now, to his credit, the team didn't tap out after the first half of last year. You know, when team starts off 1-7 through the first eight games of the season, usually guys in the locker room are talking about shipping the cars home. But they didn't do that. They went 6-2 in the back half. I know there are a lot of things that you could point to, favorable schedule and some quarterbacks being out, whatever. But they did go 6-2. So they were more competitive in the second half. But can they build on that coming into 2020? And, Carlin, I don't think they can.
And what bothers me about that, Chris, is, look, okay, they played better in the second half, but I don't want this to be a Brody Van Wagenen situation. I don't want everybody pointing at the second half last year saying, look what we're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that there just wasn't a whole lot of pressure on, and there were extenuating circumstances to it. I don't want to ignore that. And with Gase, I think the other guy you could throw in there too, Jay Ajayi. They shipped him away for nothing. He went to the Eagles and helped them win a Super Bowl. He was a big part of them winning that Super Bowl. So, you know, I look at all of that, and I'm with you, but the Jet fan is going to have to deal with the disappointment of still having Gase if that step is taken by the quarterback. And Gase may be, it may be a very good development for Sam Darnold, but while that'll be a good development for the team in the long run, does that mean that he should still be the head coach in 2 years if they're not showing improvement with the win-loss record?
That's the part of it that scares me, Carlin, because, I mean, I watched that that documentary that they did on Bill Belichick and Nick Saban, and one of the things that Nick Saban said is there's no player that's good enough to overcome bad coaching.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Adam Gase is a very good head coach. Now, is he a good coordinator? He had success with Peyton Manning, but it's Peyton Manning. He had success with Jay Cutler, but at that point, Cutler was already a Pro Bowl player. Like, I don't know if Adam Gase is a good head coach. And so, long term, I don't know if it's in the best interest of the Jets if Sam Darnold goes out there and has a breakout year, just because you know Adam Gase is going to be tied to him.
And like you said,
I don't know. I mean, you want the quarterback to develop into a franchise guy, but if you got a head coach that's not very good, where's the team going?
And like you said, when after a certain period of time you're still asking that question, is he a good head coach? You've already got your answer.
But here's also the part that complicates it, Carlin. If Sam does have a breakout year, now you're talking about having to address his contract situation. Now you're talking about having to pay him top of the market money, and who knows what the going rate for quarterbacks will be at that point. Because Deshaun Watson still has to get his deal done, and you're probably talking about Lamar Jackson getting a deal after this year as well. But when you have a quarterback making that kind of money, all of a sudden now you have less flexibility with your roster. You have less avenues to add talent to the team. So we got a quarterback that's proven that he can be a franchise guy after taking a big step in year three, but now you're going to limit the resources that the head coach and the general manager have to add talent around him.
See, that's why I think they're going to have to wait. If they truly want to be able to win while he's still on that rookie deal, I think that they're going to have to wait till after year four.
But do you wait, Carlin, if he's already proven that he can be a franchise quarterback in year three?
If I feel like next year, in his fourth year, that I truly have an opportunity to go win, then I have to make him wait. And I hate to do it, And I know some quarterbacks do get paid after year three. A lot of them do.
A lot of them do.
But think about this, though. Right when Joe was leaving Philadelphia, they handed Carson Wentz that money. How did that work? You know, after year three. So I would be very, very careful on that. I think you have
Well, you gave Carson Wentz the money because the team won a Super Bowl. I don't think that's necessarily an apple.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, if they're looking at it realistically,
yeah.
Wentz had only played at an exceptionally high level for, what, 9-10 games to yeah. whenever he got hurt that year. He was the MVP of the league up until that point
sure.
in 2017. But my overall point about it is, though, if you can wait till year four to do it, till after year four to do it, then you have to do it.
No, you're right. I get what you're saying, and you try to put it off as long as you can, but the point that I was making still remains the same.
Yeah.
Like, if Adam Gase is going to be around because Sam Darnold proves his worth, then you're talking about a guy that seems like he's limited as a head coach based on what we've seen in his 5 years in the NFL as a head coach, having less resources in order to add talent around the guy that's proven he's a franchise quarterback. Yeah. I don't feel great about that.
Rick, still no internet. That's a problem. As he hangs out, as far as we know, still in the parking lot at a Target somewhere on Long Island. I'm guessing somewhere in Hempstead, but I don't know.
So. That's a good guess. I think it's in those parts, somewhere okay. in that area.
I do not know exactly on the island where Rick does live, but I'm imagining that...
I've been to the Palatial Estate a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you have to do to get on that list?
I feel like it has its own zip code, though. Like, that's how it's a big boy.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah,
that does not surprise me at all. But no, Rick,
lavishly.
No, Rick doesn't mean that there's no observations, does it? It does not. So let's get to some observations.
Better about your life.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself.
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
Feels like over a week since we've done this. Lots to catch up on, boys. But first things first, we'll try to keep things consistent. I'm hoping that Chris Carlin's able to step up here and give us an update on the weather to start things out.
The weather outside is weather.
And again, I'm insulted that you wouldn't expect me to be ready with the weather. Ray Santiago, again, every little possible thing that I can take as a swipe, I will. Very Jordan-esque in that regard. 78 degrees in New York City. A high of 83 and a low of 70. The humidity at 60%, a little bit up there, but that barometric pressure dropping at 30.12. 10-mile visibility. The wind is slight out of the northeast at 5 miles per hour. Your dew point at 63 degrees at UV index. Still a 7 out of 10, so slap on that UV protective sunblock, my friends. And Chris, we are in a waning gibbous moon phase. Waning
there you go.
Gibbous.
See, that's how you separate yourself from Dave Rothenberg. You give all the moon phases.
Yeah.
Like you go to that next level. Very, very Lee Goldberg-esque.
Sunset, by the way. 8:04 p.m., it is getting earlier and earlier.
I feel like Rick would pick up on something with waning gibbous. I just don't know where to go with that.
Yeah. See, that's
it. I don't think it would go anywhere good with Ricky.
Exactly. But it is a case, Chris, that we talked about earlier when it's a next man up situation. We're without Rick. Next man up, Ray Santiago. But right there, you find out what you miss.
Just a little bit. Wow. I will bring a Rick staple into the equation. I will play Did It Happen in Florida with you boys, though.
Outstanding.
All right.
Let's
do it.
So a man reportedly purchased a brand new Porsche with a check he printed on a home computer and then decided to splurge on some watches. Casey William Kelly, 42 years old, cashed in on a nearly $140,000 check at a local car dealership, but was taken into custody one day later when he attempted to buy several Rolex watches at a jeweler with the bogus checks. He was subsequently arrested for grand theft of a motor vehicle and uttering a false bank note. Did that happen in the great state of Florida?
Chris, you're up first on this
one. Yeah, I'm just saying, using fake checks in order to purchase automobiles and watches... I mean, I guess it could happen in Florida, but no, I don't feel like this one did happen in Florida. So I'm going to say no, not Florida.
Not Florida. Okay. By the way, Ray slid in there a little subsequently. Subsequently.
Sometimes I struggle with the pronunciation.
Sometimes I struggle with getting a word out. I don't know why I'm taking it out on you all of a sudden. First of all, is it more troubling the fact that the guy used the fake checks or that they accepted the fake check? I mean, like, that had to be some high-end printing material he had.
I have a lot of questions about the whole thing. First of all, like, what car dealership is just going to accept a $140,000 check that a guy just randomly gives to you?
And say, without verifying it, right?
Yeah, this checks out. Yeah. We're good.
I mean, if it says cashier's check on it, but it's still like, it's 140 grand for a guy just, I'm going to say not Florida, because I feel like his technology had to be impressive enough. Like, a fake check to me in Florida would have been somebody just typing check 140,000 and then signing it and handing it over.
Here's the other thing. You're right about that, by the way. But here's the other part about it. Why couldn't the guy just quit while he was ahead? Like, you just got the Porsche. Now you got to go get the watches to go with it?
Exactly. You got to move on. Or if you're going to the watches, how about you go to the next date?
Yeah, exactly. Just keep it moving. Drive your fancy Porsche to the next date. Why don't you?
Did we not learn anything from Catch Me If You Can?
That's somebody who's clearly drunk on power at that point.
Yeah,
like, that's I've gotten away with this. I'm driving a brand new Porsche. May as well get a couple Rolexes. I'm good with it. That happened in Florida, actually. Miramar Beach. The sheriff's office was Walton County, I believe.
Wow, that did happen in Florida.
So Walton County Sheriff's
Office. Here we are thinking that that's too sophisticated for Florida.
This is the very sophisticated part of Florida.
Is Miramar near Palm Beach?
I believe it is. I'm going to double check that. Let's check.
Like, maybe they just took it for granted if that's the case. It's in Broward County. I don't know how close that is.
Broward County is basically Miami, no?
Yeah, Broward County is South Florida, yeah.
Yeah. So what I was going to say is, if you're in a rich area, maybe they just took for granted that the guy looked legit. But on $140,000.
That salesperson should probably be fired then. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, at this point,
they're bad at their job.
Or maybe they were in on it. Who knows?
There's another. Listen, you just opened up even more questions to be concerned about. Chris Carlin, Chris Canty, are either of you familiar with Mr. Unlimited?
No.
I am not.
That would be the alter ego of Super Bowl champion, one of the best quarterbacks in football, Mr. Russell Wilson. Apparently, he did this video back in 2018, and it resurfaced on social media earlier this week. I just want you to take a listen to this. It's really something special.
Hey, guys. Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you wanna do in life or where you wanna go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll, they think this person, they think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tell him.
I'm assuming that's Ciara in the background. Can't say for sure, but.
Wow. I love Russ. I love Russ. But he's a cornball, man.
Mr. Unlimited.
There is unlimited corniness in that soundbite right there. Like,
Oh, my God.
I don't know what to say. I mean, I think he's trying to have fun with it. I don't think he's taking it seriously. But either way, it's not funny. Like, it's just not.
But that's Russell Wilson. That's Russell Wilson. And you said it all right there. The guy's one of the best quarterbacks in football. He's a Super Bowl champion. He's only going to get better. He'll be at the top of his game for a long time. He is probably the most corny guy in football, though.
But what we have confirmed is that there is no way it was the personality that really attracted Ciara. No way. Absolutely not.
Yeah, you don't know.
He's a nice guy, Carlin.
Some people are attracted to
Carlin. He's a nice guy. And for her coming off of a relationship with Future, I think she just needed a nice guy.
All right. Well, no, I'm not saying he wasn't a nice guy. I'm saying, but like, you can be a nice guy and like, that's the best you're coming up with. You know what I mean?
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. Listen, they both seem to be very happy, so good on them. Congratulations.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right.
I'm going to stay in the NFC West, talk about another quarterback.
I wonder is that going to play well with Jamal Adams, Mr. Unlimited?
I don't think Jamal Adams cares. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Jamal Adams cares one way or the other.
Does Mr. Unlimited sign the checks? No, if he doesn't, then...
That's it. That's all it comes down to.
Yeah. Mr. Unlimited.
Oh my gosh, that's great,
Chancy. I'm gonna go to LA. Jared Goff, LA Rams. Obviously, Jordan Renan, proof that teams are getting going here. Jared Goff was asked about, you know, what he's been doing all spring to get ready for the season, and he admitted that he put a little bit of weight on. His words: "I may have put on a couple of pounds. I don't know if that's muscle or a couple of cheeseburgers. I'm not sure, but I feel good. Feel good putting in a lot of work this off season." So,
if you got to ask the question, I'm probably sure it's not muscles and it is the cheeseburgers. If you're asking that question,
yeah.
Just my two cents.
Now, he's a guy who probably needed to put in some extra work this offseason. If he's joking about cheeseburgers, that probably resonates more in the Rams locker room than Mr. Unlimited would in the Seahawks locker room. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm sure that he knows the answer to that. And while I would respect it, if you've already been paid like Jared Goff has, I mean, come on. Come on.
That's true.
Yeah, but you need to at some point live up to that contract.
Exactly.
And let's just say that we're all a little skeptical that he's capable of doing that. Just putting it out there.
No, dear.
I think that's fair.
Police in Italy have identified a 50-year-old Austrian man who broke three toes off a statue at a museum as he posed for a photo with the artwork. The 200-year-old plaster cast model of Antonio Canova's statue of Paolina Bonaparte was damaged in the incident on July 31st at the museum in northern Italy, the local law enforcement agency said to CNN. The man's name was not released, but he was caught on surveillance camera jumping up on the statue's base to get a picture. And there's video of this. You can take a look at it. To get the picture when they maneuver, he's putting all his weight down on his hand, which is on her foot, and it just snaps off.
Oh, see, it's one thing if you, like, I would be the guy that would lean up against it and it would accidentally happen because mm-hmm. I'm kind of a klutz. But if you're jumping up on it to take a picture, then you're just a full-on jackass.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Like, it's one of those poses, like, the woman is laying down and she's got her head being held up by her arm. So he tries to copy the pose leaning on her while she's leaning on
the... that guy.
Come
on.
And you could just see his face is blurred in the image, but it just snaps the toes right off the statue.
Aww. Yeah, he's a bad guy. Yeah. I mean, he's doing way too much trying to take a picture with the statue. He's trying to pose with the statue, ends up breaking the damn thing. I mean, I put him slightly above the guy that goes into the bathroom with three urinals and goes to the middle stall.
And I love how you bring it back around. Great job.
By the way, I got a tweet from somebody real quick about that. Paul Newman said a fan approached him in the men's room and asked for an autograph. He thought, should I shake his hand and write it before I wash my hands? At that point, he completely stopped giving autographs.
That's understandable.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Completely understandable. I'm going to wrap it on observations on a little bit of old news, but we haven't gotten to it. Did you guys get a look at the Mariners-A's game earlier in the week, what they had down the left field line?
I did not see that.
There's a cardboard cutout left field in Seattle of Steve Bartman from the NLCS back in the day. Right there where Moises Alou would have probably made the catch if Bartman didn't get in his way.
Oh, wow.
It's sort of a shame, A, that Bartman's still kind of getting dragged this way, but it's also like you could have done that against the Cubs or somebody. You had to waste it against the A's, but man.
Yeah, I think that, like, you want to troll the Cubs at that point. I mean, if somebody – it's like Chipper buying his own cardboard cutout at Citi Field. You know, he did do that. So if you want to troll them and you're a White Sox fan or somebody, you would buy a picture of Bartman and send it to them.
Listen, I think it's kind of funny. It's funnier than, say, like Chipper Jones putting the cardboard cutout of his son at Citi Field or anything like that. But – Did anybody ever find out what happened to Steve Bartman? Like, did he ever resurface? Did he ever did he get to enjoy the World Series? You know,
just... the last I heard, he was in Florida. Is that he had moved to Florida? I saw the thing a few years ago.
Because of course he would move to Florida.
Right.
Of
well,
course.
Yeah. He. I feel for that guy. I listen. It's an instinct to go for the ball, but it is an absolute killer in the moment.
That'll do it for the observations, guys. Great job.
Leave it to me to feel bad for the idiot in that moment who cost his team in that spot. That tells you everything. Between that and the urinal problem, then we've got the issue. You figure it all out. I am really screwed up in the head. That's very clear, I think, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's any debate there.
All right, calls, let's go. Carlin and Canty, Jim in Queens has been patient. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Jim.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am a Geese hater, and I will continue to be a Geese hater when I see quotes from Le'Veon Bell saying, this is the hardest offense I've ever been in. Donald saying, you know, I'm more comfortable. Like, I don't know why his offense needs to reinvent the wheel, but it's a made-for-scoring NFL. It shouldn't be that hard. The only success he had was with Peyton Manning, and he was a Hall of Fame quarterback that had the answers to the test already. I don't know why it shouldn't be that hard. Like it terrifies me that his offense is like this. And if it is, why can't you call Peyton Manning up, say, come into my building, there's no preseason games or anything, tutor Donald for 2 weeks, and let him be more comfortable. But that's it terrifies me when I see quotes from Le'Veon Bell saying, this is the hardest offense I've ever been in. What do you think Donald felt like in only his second year? And he's still not comfortable. I see quotes like it kills me. It's a made for scoring NFL. It shouldn't be that hard. What do you think?
I'm with you on that one, man. Listen, I mean, I don't care what your system is. If your players are struggling with it, then you need to adapt your system, not get rid of the guys you got and try to find more guys. And to me, it just seems like too often the latter approach is what Adam Gase opts for, and I just would like to see him have a better marriage in terms of the X's and O's with the skill sets of the players that he has, and we'll see what he does in year two with the Jets. He said he learned a lot from his tenure as a head coach down in the Dolphins. We'll see if any of those lessons that he said he learned pop up in year two in terms of their overall program building. But for me, Adam Gase has a lot to prove. And Sam Darnold is going to be where it starts and ends. But, I mean, there are some other things that he needs to improve on as well in terms of the leadership style and being able to command the respect of everybody in the locker room.
You know, to me, when you don't adapt to what you have in your players, you're making a mistake. When you're so strictly staying to what your system is and trying to fit square pegs into round holes, you're just asking for trouble. And that's the most underrated part of Belichick that people don't really give enough credit to. He takes the guys that he has and he asks them to do what they're good at. He doesn't ask them to do something that they're not good at.
No, you're right, Carlin. I mean, a good coach understands there are a lot of different ways you can win a football game, and you have to tailor your scheme, your approach, to the talent that you got in the locker room.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.